The alt-country singer-songwriter Ryan Adams and the Cardinals will play a live set for us on stage at World Cafe Live coming up. Ryan has a new album called Easy Tiger. It looks like his only album for 2007 after releasing three between 2005 and 2006. But first, let us sit down with Ryan and find out what is new, including his cutting back on smoking, being clean and sober, and his recent injury that has left him unable to play guitar for a while. I started our conversation out by complimenting Ryan on his voice for so early a live session and asked him if it was easy to get warmed up for an afternoon concert.
Not really. I mean, it's always kind of messed up a little bit, meaning that it isn't a... I mean, it's not exactly... I'm not exactly... Who is the guy's name? Pavarotti? Who is that? Maserati?
Paul Rogers?
No, what's strange is that it doesn't really seem... sometimes to be on in the morning, but I only noticed that when we were just recently in Europe because, it's been a long time since I would really do anything in the morning, specifically unless I was still up. So this last year and a half has been a little different, but we'd go to to do something radio or something like that, and I'd notice that just from being worn out from travel, but specifically like sometimes it's just, I don't know, like maybe I'm not powered up yet or... It's hard to reach notes, but you know what I mean. When you have a cup of coffee, you can kind of do it.
Right. So, well, you definitely cut back on smoking, right? And that, what have you noticed about that?
That I really want a cigarette all the time. No. It's actually it's true. But seriously, it's true. You kind of just. I just sort of forget about it. I mean, sometimes. I mean, I still. Unfortunately, I'm a smoker, but that's like, I kind of think that I would probably, it's been over half my life. So
yeah.
I can regret it now, but it's definitely one of those things that feels like impossible to break. And in fact, I do enjoy it.
Yeah, but what is it, have you noticed the voice getting easier to sing things, getting easier to get higher with your voice or anything, or is it, because people always talk about that making a big difference, and
I don't think it changed all that much. I always thought I could really sing before, it was just the fact that I couldn't stand.
You're doing very well, except now you're sitting, so there you go.
Yeah, I had gravity issues in the past, not really singing issues, but, you know what I mean, like, luckily somebody switched the gravity on and...
Neil Casale is here with you, and Neil's been playing guitar with you.
Yes.
What's it now? You're not playing guitar. Is that still because of your injury, or is that just because of the way things work out?
It's injury related. I actually can't wait to play guitar again. I think about it every day, because I couldn't. Because apparently my new thing is to have enjoy having a really full schedule, which I do, and to work in the Cardinals, to work, to feel good and to work, which is great. But aside from that, I like to skateboard and do other things in my spare time. And one of the ways that I maintain a decent schedule is I don't look at the schedule. I just know that, I have a great manager, and he's explained to me and the rest of the band that, in so many words, is your schedule is don't make any plans for the rest of the year. We jamming.
What did you actually do?
I was getting to that. It's a long story. I'm long-winded. I'm from North Carolina. The long evenings, long days, storytelling, sitting around. There's nothing to do. So because I don't look at the schedule, several days before we went out on this promo tour, I was skateboarding, and I decided to really relearn backside airs on a 12-foot bowl. That's vert, which is basically, it means that this huge ramp that I shouldn't be doing them on if I'm going to go on tour the next day. And I had full pads on and everything, and I pulled these airs, and it was going really well. But inevitably, when you do an extreme sport, any kind of even if you're into ice skating, or for that matter, bowling, whatever, something you could you bruise up a little bit. And I happened to fall, and I ripped a tendon, right, and I broke three bones, and ripped a tendon. Nothing major. They just said, the guy, I went to see the same guy that fixed my left wrist, other wrist, and of course he was like, hello, and you're back, and it's like a repeat offender, and apparently it's very common. But I think that most people probably just I'm sure there is a lot of people who just after they come off all that Vicodin or whatever it is, they just take a hammer and hit their other wrist as hard as they can, trying to get some more of that stuff. But for me, it wasn't like that. So, because I couldn't play, my thing was, well, I just got to be a good singer then this time, and I just been like really pushing it and really paying attention.
Well, it's really interesting to watch you on stage now because you're not holding the guitar; you got to figure out what to do with your hands, and you do things that kind of seem to lean into singing better. You raise your hands up in certain times. You're doing things for emphasis that kind of seem to affect the singing in some way.
Yeah, there are things I think I do in the studio probably when mm-hmm. I sing. It's not something I've ever done. In fact. Do you remember when it first happened somewhere in the last run, I think? Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, we had a really good gig. And I remember, like, after I was talking to Neil, I saw a photograph that Phil Animal took of this conversation. In fact, I remember going, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Like, I just forgot myself for a second. And, like, are you guys mad? And they're like, hell no. Because it was, like, a thing. Like, I kind of was bringing out my inner goofball. Do you know what I mean? It's like... Not, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't not dork out on those things. And then it makes me feel kind of like funny. It's very dramatic. It's very like, but I didn't even know that was like something that I would do. You know what I mean? It's just something, I don't know. Should I stop?
No. Well, does that relate at all to playing with more of a darkened stage?
No. The darkened stage thing is because, win some, lose some, you know what I mean? We're winning pretty big here. You got to lose something for comfortability. And, I don't drink or take legal narcotics anymore and haven't for some time. And one of the ways that I feel more comfortable sometimes performing is to feel like that I'm up there to play music and there's one specific vibe and that it isn't about flash and bang. And it's like, and also, when I perform any of my songs live, it isn't a quote-unquote Ryan Adams show, it's a Cardinals show. Because, like, I made this record as a Ryan Adams record, obviously, and I have records like that in the past, but I would not perform live if I wasn't in the Cardinals. And, in fact, the future of any of my music is with the Cardinals and not as a solo artist. Yeah. So when I perform, I feel like I am just one part of the band, and it's kind of somehow like a unified thing that whatever is most comfortable for us to do our thing, it's there, it is. And I don't like when lights go crazy on a band unless it's specifically because that's the environment. And I think that somehow we also probably have fielded a lot of heckling in the past. And so a way to minimize or level the playing field is to say, well, something has to be sacred here, and we're not going to play with all the lights up. So we're going to keep things cool and calm and collected and vibe so that the nuances are musical and they're not about trickery.
People often kind of put your albums into categories. The Cold Roses double thing was kind of like a Grateful Dead-ish album. There was this, there was that.
Let's talk about that. Really, can you be an American, like from the United States, and play any kind of roots music and if you actually are any good, not sort of sound like the Dead?
Any kind of roots music that has interplay between band members.
Yeah, it has that vibe of like mysticism or mythology or like non-ironic music. The Grateful Dead reminded me of being non-ironic. They were completely invested in what they were doing and they weren't sure what it was and it was happening to them, and it sounded like the difference between music that is authenticates itself due to the fact that it's acknowledging that there's mystery, or this music that's very ironic, where people who play roots music, even people who are from the South, specifically the Midwest or the South, who play up that sound and then sing with more of an accent than they talk with. Like, this to me is not what exploring this music is about for me, although it works for other people, and that's fine, because I completely think that there should be that stuff. I think that it's really funny and like good times, you know what I mean? Like good times for people who love that stuff. But to me, like, the whole idea is, I mean, I don't want to be any more of an American or influenced by what I acknowledge as things that remind me of what is mystical about the United States. I don't want to be any more American than Kerouac or the Grateful Dead, you know, or, you know, for that matter, you know, any of the writers that have been from here or any of our painters, you know, no more than Jackson Pollock or no more than any of those people, because it seems like all the great innovators of American art have been people who have been unapologetically just themselves and not putting on a front of nationalism or of like or even for that matter of for turning up what it meant.
With this one, the songs come from, I mean, there's some older songs. There's a lot of, this is like a gathering of, was it gathered specifically to be on Easy Tiger? I'm just trying to get a handle on how these songs ended up on this record. Because you've been so prolific, I'm just curious as to why you don't take a snapshot of a specific moment rather than you choose things that go back over a period of time.
Well, I mean, I have done that in the past.
Yeah, I know.
I've done a lot of that kind of work. And that work serves... I think working a moment, making a record that's about a moment or about what happens within a week or two, I think working that for me, going into that, seeing what happens in that short amount of time and respecting it, I've been so good at that, and that is such a discipline. It is true. It is, you know, it is by such a wide margin harder to make a record in that way than it is to spend a year.
Why?
Because you have to... I feel like the preparation for a record like that is all about spending time to loosen yourself up, to be within the moment, to be unafraid, to write songs in that very day or that very hour, to track them in that next hour. So, like, the work is in keeping yourself in tune with the unconscious creative flow, and not the I'm in the studio, this is a track, let's cut this flow, because that to me sounds very stifled.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one most people find is people that spend a year on a record, it's those couple of moments where they weren't thinking about being in the studio and were just playing off the cuff that the producer uses, a good producer would use every one of those takes, and never the takes that you spend like, come on, let's get this right, and you do it over and over again, because there's no right way to make this stuff. This is just information. I mean, bees don't sit around and think, how do I want to buzz today? They just do.
Well, how does that relate to this, though, with songs that go over a period of time?
Well, this is the funny thing is that this is because with that same thing in mind, this record to me is about the relationship that was cast between the Cardinals and myself, between Jamie Candelaro and myself and the Cardinals, and between all of our subsequent relationships to our manager and management company and the people closest to us, because everybody asked everybody else for advice. Because I came around and said, look, I think this is going to be a solo record. This seems to be what is most wanted from what seems to be the right direction after a conversation that I had with the head of Lost Highway. And because I did something very brave, which was like call him up and say, hey, look, in your heart of hearts and your wildest imagination, and only because I can make so many different types of music and so much of it, what, if anything, would make you excited? What are you stoked about? Like, if you could have a record, and I was on that record, like, what kind of record would that be? What would it be? And I think that it was in his mind that he really wanted to hear like a return to form of like very little in between an acoustic guitar or and myself. Like, he wanted just to hear something raw in that way. And I was like, you know what, man? Like, I'll check back in with you in a couple of months, man. you glued your socks on, and just went back and talked to the guys and said, look, this is what I think we're talking about here, and it's a solo record. I don't know. And I had been so invested in the Cardinals that had they said they didn't like the idea, I would have said no, because I was already like about 70% no on it.
Hmm.
But I was willing to have that conversation, which I think was... which was a good thing to do, because I didn't want to lead the Cardinals and exhaust their energies or exhaust my energies creatively. And because within context, I think we could do anything. I can do anything with them. They backed me. They backed the process. And it actually became fun. Like, I don't know what – I mean, so much fun that I don't know what to do with myself but mainly because I didn't have the first clue what one of those tunes should be.
Wow.
I would just – I mean, so I'm like, what is a solo record anymore? I didn't know. I've been jamming these endless jams. And so within this context of it being a little bit less about stroking my ego and more about finishing a tune and providing some cool music for everybody to jam on, the record kind of – we found the record in there.
That's pretty kind of an adult way to deal with that problem, is to talk it out in that manner. Does that feel new?
Yeah, life is interesting when you're not wasted. Ask people stuff all the time and go to lunch and you never know. No, but seriously, it isn't really that new. I mean, I think I've been doing this the whole time. I just think that I did it in a more extreme way. I mean, none of the records I've ever made would be completely done if it hadn't been for, like, ultimate collaboration between myself and a producer. They may have taken direction from me because I had a very specific idea, but I have never pushed an idea forward in the past unless it was burning inside me. Like, you know, because something was lit in me and I was unable to not be passionate about it. And I haven't brought anything that's worth nothing through. Everything that I've brought through into this world creatively and been a part of, in my opinion, is absolutely 100% a creative thing and not a destructive thing, and therefore it cannot be bad. I mean, things, in my opinion, to regret are like houses you knock down or people's lives you ruin. I've just been making tunes, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's not like I wake up throwing tuna sandwiches at people or something. So I'm happy about it all. But definitely it's better to be collaborative.
Ryan Adams will go to the stage of World Cafe Live for a set with Ryan and the Cardinals coming up in just a moment on the World Cafe. Ryan Adams and the Cardinals on stage at World Cafe Live in an afternoon session that begins with this song from the new album Easy Tiger 2.
Try not to bother you, I promise. 'Cause it's cold in here, and I wish it was hot. The sink's broke, it's leaking from the faucet, and I'm fractured from the fall.
Good afternoon.
All right. Kicking out the jams in the daytime. Sometime.
it's hard to watch. So I close my eyes and I close my mouth and I do this all in time to the music that screams like a fool set on fire, flailing his arms in a
thanks a lot. Afternoon jams. You could text message that last song to someone without having to use any words. You couldn't use numbers, though. I don't think you could use numbers for that song. Right now, I'm talking on the radio somewhere.
Thank you.
Let It Ride that finishes up our live session with Ryan Adams and the Cardinals today on the Cafe. Thanks to Ryan and the band for playing for us here on the World Cafe, where support is provided by the members of the World Cafe affiliates nationwide, including WUMB in Boston and KFJM in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Shows produced at WXBN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Our new World Cafe website is at worldcafe.npr.org. That's where you'll find archived audio of our interviews, information on World Cafe podcasts as well. That is worldcafe.npr.org. I'm David Dye. This is the World Cafe.